Hello out there. Time for another movie retrospective. We're doing a good one today. We always do good ones, don't we?
Yeah. Well, it's always good in some way or another.
This is the 2002 British werewolf flick, Dog Soldiers.
Yeah. I'd never seen this one.
Fucking love this movie.
Yeah. I'd never seen this one. Jenny showed it to me. It's kind of like the British Predator.
It is. It does have a very similar kind of setup.
Yeah. Bunch of British air assault guys. They're on a training mission. They got their blank adapters on, their little with a little Enfield bullpups that they're carrying, and they go out. Where is it? Scotland, I think.
It's actually supposed to be the Scottish Highlands. Yes.
Okay, so it's supposed to be up in Scotland.
That's not where they filmed it, but that's what. They're doing
some field training, and they get attacked by werewolves. It's kind of like Predator. Reminds me of Predator because everybody in this movie is at least competent.
Yeah.
You don't have any, you know, screaming teenagers or incompetent people. It's all pretty competent soldiers. And one thing leads to another, and they find out that the SAS was out there. I guess it's SAS.
Yes, it is.
And the SAS got wiped out, and they picked up some of the SAS's weapons and picked up the mission to try to fight these damn werewolves. It's pretty cool. Lots of cool guns. Lots of cool equipment. Very similar to the... It's kind of the British, their equipment always kind of reminded me of American equipment. This movie, I'm looking at it, and the equipment that they're wearing really kind of reminds me of what I was wearing in the Army back in the 90s. You know, the weapons are pretty cool, you know. They end up finding cool MP5s and FAL rifles and shotguns and shit like that. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
They basically kind of have a big standoff. It's almost kind of like... almost kind of like the Alamo, where they're inside a house trying to fend off an attack from a bunch of these werewolves.
Yeah, this is a totally badass werewolf flick. And I mean, there's not like... I guess werewolf movies are not as like well represented in the horror genre as, say, like vampire movies or zombie movies, of which there are 40 bajillion.
You could say that there's that one. What's the one with the... zombies versus, or is it vampires versus werewolves? There was that whole series.
Oh yeah, Underworld.
Underworld
was that Underworld
would probably be the best.
And I guess Twilight had werewolves in it, but that's not really a horror movie. So let's not talk.
And
about
the Howling, the first Howling was okay.
I was gonna say that, like, of the kind of few werewolves, because it seems like werewolves kind of get the short end of the stick a little bit. Of the few werewolf movies that there are in the horror genre, there are very few that are actually any good.
Yeah.
You know, American Werewolf in London, obviously,
it's
I would
okay.
call the first Howling, is very good. Ginger Snaps is very good, which came out the same year as this or the year before, but had kind of a different take on it.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's really not that many good ones, but this one
Pretty
is
good.
A really, really good one.
The werewolves themselves kind of reminded me of The Howling. I mean, there's no CG.
Yeah.
These are actual costumes, but they're really well done. The faces are animatronic on them, and the guys are really fucking tall because they have, you know, I guess fake legs or fake feet, like stilts.
Yeah, they're like stilts.
Stilts, but they're articulated so they can kind of jump and run around. And they had some acrobats.
Yeah, dancers. They got all dancers for the werewolves.
Playing the werewolves, and they're, you know, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. They look good.
Yeah, I mean,
better CG.
For a movie as low budget as this is, I believe it was made for about $2 million. And this was actually, as most people might know, this was Neil Marshall's first full-length feature. Now, he obviously went on to much greater things. He did The Descent, which is also a fantastic fucking movie.
Yeah.
He also did one called Doomsday, which I haven't seen. I believe he's gone on now to direct some Game of Thrones episodes, so he did, like, you know, he did really good with his career later on. But like I said, this was his first full-length feature. Before this, he had done, like, a short film called Combat, which has a couple of the same actors in it that are in this. But... he had been working on this script since the mid-90s, I think, like 1996, the first version of it. And he basically, he had the whole idea where he's like, I want like a whole bunch of like elite soldiers like fighting werewolves.
Yeah.
And but it took so long to get made because, you know, what, of funding and all this other kind of stuff. And but what he did with this now, because here's the thing. This did not get a theatrical release in the United States, which criminal.
Yeah.
But, you know, it got a theatrical run in the U.S. and in some other countries in Europe, and it actually did pretty well. Like I said, it only cost $2 million to make, so it made more than twice its budget back.
Yeah, you can't tell that this is $2 million. It looks like more, but...
It does, but yeah. It just goes to show, and we talk about this a lot, if you know what you're doing and you're competent, yeah. And you get a good crew and you have a good story and good actors and stuff like that, you don't need a lot of money to make a good movie.
Well, I think it might have been about this. That's probably about what it cost to make Predator, actually.
Yeah.
And Predator...
Although this was many years later.
But Predator really carved out a fantastic franchise for itself just on the back of a cheap but very strong movie.
Yeah.
A lot of what made Predator great was the damn monster. And the actors, of course. And it was just the whole tale all together, the score and everything. And this movie kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, because, I mean...
The werewolves, the way they look, it looks as good as that first Predator.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's many of them in this, which is probably about, what, 6, 7 of them?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell, but it's like it's like a whole family of werewolves. Yeah. There are, like, several werewolves.
Yeah, and the score's good, the way it's shot's good. It kind of, some of it's kind of grainy, which so was Predator.
Yeah.
Because the kind of film that it was shot on.
Yeah, it was shot on 16mm, which was cheaper at the time. You're which right. is why, you know, even if it... I mean, it did get a Blu-ray release from Shout Factory in 2015, I believe. But it's never going to look
right.
like crisp and HD and everything like that. But some people might bitch about that. But I think that contributes to the way that... Because the film looks like kind of older than 2002. Because it was shot on older film stock.
It's kind of a throwback kind of feel to it. Kind of, like I said, in the way Predator was. Maybe like Alien 2 or like Aliens. Kind of like that. It was good, you know?
It has very much that same vibe, yeah.
Bunch of soldiers fighting monsters. It works good.
And I mean, like I said, you have really, like, all the elements to make a really good movie. I mean, it's a slightly longer than a horror movie. I think it's a usual horror movie. It's about 1 hour and 45 minutes. But it doesn't feel like it. There's no fat on it. But the thing that is really one of the best things about it, other than the werewolves, which look amazing, like I said, there is no CGI in this at all. They're all dancers, and they all have full body prosthetics and these huge, like, really awesome looking werewolf heads that have, like, servos and other, like, electronics in there. And they just, like, the way they move is, like, really cool.
Yeah.
And also, like, the way they shoot them is really cool. Like, sometimes they'll just show them, like, outside of the house and they're just in silhouette and they're all shaggy and everything like that. And they'll show them, like, running through the woods really quickly. But I think this is kind of a thing where it's very good because less is more with the monsters. Like, yeah, you see them and stuff, but they're kind of in shadow or they're running, or you just see, like, parts of their bodies and stuff. And every now and then you see them, like walking around and they look really awesome. But I think, like, what a lot of people really like about this movie and what, like, the heart of this movie is the guys.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, all the actors in this are really, really good. I mean, a lot of them had done, like, British TV and some of them went on to, like, much greater things later on. But you immediately are invested in these characters. They're all likable. They're all, they seem like a real, like, army unit. They seem like dudes that know each other really well. They're always, like, bantering and, like, talking shit to one another. Well, and, like, they all have their own little personality quirks, so they're, like, easily identifiable.
It's kind of easy to fool civilians. You know what I mean? A lot of movies fool civilians into thinking that that's the way the military is. But, these are supposed to be British air assault, air assault infantry is what they are. And that's what I was in the Army. 101st Airborne Division. I was in the 1st and the 506th and the 1st and the 327th. So these guys are representing the same kind of soldiers me and my buddies were.
You know?
And I'm going to tell you, it was authentic.
Yeah.
It was authentic. I did feel like I was looking at British soldiers.
It's very natural. It's very organic. Like, all of these actors have such a good rapport with one another, and they're just, like, talking shit. And,
it was very much similar to that in real life. The only thing I'd have to say that I thought was bullshit is the scene where the guys remember and going through his survival, escape, and evasion program with the SAS, they asked him to kill that dog.
Yeah, but that was, like, shorthand for showing that Captain Ryan was a bad guy.
That's true.
That was foreshadowing.
That was true. That was bullshit. They don't do that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do that in the British Army or the American Army. But I understand why they did it, though.
Yeah.
You know, for the movie. But I thought maybe they could have done something a little bit different. Like something that was a little bit more realistic that he didn't want to do. I thought it might have made the British SAS look kind of cruel.
Yeah.
And that's not the way they are.
Right. But like I said, they were foreshadowing because that guy was a villain.
Yeah.
So they wanted to kind of show, like, a kind of shorthand for that, like, early on in the movie. And they're showing that Coop was a good guy because he wouldn't
it's
do
just,
it.
That's the way I saw it. I'm an ex-soldier, and soldiers get offended when they try to make soldiers look kind of bad.
Yeah.
Of all armies, you know what I mean? Even though bad shit does happen, that particularly wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said, because Captain Ryan is a bad guy, and really it was just him because like the rest of his squad, the SAS squad, you know, later on when the main guys in the movie, like, they come across what's left of his unit and they've all been eaten except for him, and he's wounded.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that all the other guys, you know, they were just normal, regular dudes and who didn't know like what was going on really, but they all got attacked and killed by the werewolves. So in that way, I didn't mind it. Like I said, it is a little like unbelievable, but you know, werewolves.
The closest thing I've ever heard of that is James Earl Jones. He used to be an Army Ranger.
Yeah.
And in old Ranger school, he's telling the story that you had to carry a snake with you for a long time during the course. All right? And at the end of the course, you had to eat the snake. But that's a snake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a cold-blooded animal, and you eat snakes as a matter of course anyway for survival, you know, in jungle anyway. It's free meat. It tastes good.
You know me. It's like if I had to carry a snake with me the whole time, I would get attached to the snake and I wouldn't want to hurt it.
You're carrying the snake, I guess, for food. But they don't tell you that it's food.
They don't
tell you that it's food. Yeah.
So you like start naming it. I guess like, so. He's your little buddy and everything. And they're like, oh, now you got to kill it. And you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
But Slithery.
That's according to James Earl Jones.
I love him so much. So
it's
which kind
that
of
sounds
like
something they'd do back in the 60s in Ranger School. Yeah.
That does kind of sound like something. Yeah, like I said, shooting a dog is a little humble, but like I said, they were trying to show that he was like a bad guy. Because you find out later on, and this is something that I guess like in the original versions of the script, like there was kind of this subplot where, because you know, once the army unit like starts getting attacked by the werewolves, they get attacked and then they get picked up by this woman named Megan, who turns out is a zoologist, and she takes them to like this, you know, this really remote like farmhouse, like out in the fucking. It's supposed to be the Scottish Highlands, but it was actually filmed in Luxembourg, actually on the land of the Duke of Luxembourg, who let them film on their land because they got like tax breaks and stuff. So she takes them there, and it's kind of a thing where when. You know, they bring Captain Ryan there because he's wounded. He was the only SAS guy that was left. All the other ones got eaten by werewolves because there's, like, gore all over the forest and everything. And there's kind of a couple moments in there where Megan and Captain Ryan, like, look at each other like they know each other or there's some shit going on. And then it turns out, like, as the story goes on, that Captain Ryan and his SAS unit, they were supposed to go out there and capture one of the werewolves alive because, you know, the government wanted to, like, look into using them as a weapon or something like that. So, and I think the implication too is that the army unit that's like at the, you know, at the center of the movie, I think they were supposed to be like the bait, like to draw the werewolves out. You know what I mean? So, which they didn't know, like they didn't tell them like what this mission was, because I think there's like some conversation between them at the beginning. The one guy was pissed that he was missing the, you know, England versus Germany soccer match, which is a big deal if you're like from over there. That's like, you know what I mean? England versus Germany. That's like a huge, you know, matchup. But so he was pissed about that. And he's like, you know, they didn't even tell us like what this mission was. We're just like supposed to be out here and doing this, that, and the other. It was supposed to be like some kind of capture the flags, that type of thing. But it turned out that they had been sent out there on purpose to draw the werewolves out so that the SAS team could capture one, you know, alive. So you find that out later on. And like I said, there's some shit going on with like Megan too. So you're kind of like led to believe that Megan and Captain Ryan have spoken before, and that like either she was part of the plan or she knew about the plan, because she says she's been studying the werewolves and she lives out there. And then later on, like near the end of the movie, you find out, spoiler alert, that she is a werewolf too. Although it's not real clear when she becomes a werewolf. I don't know if she's been a werewolf the whole time, because she didn't wolf out with the rest of the family.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, that's who lives in this farmhouse, is the family that are werewolves. So I don't know, because there is one point in the movie where she, like, cuts her hand. And they kind of make this big deal about, like, showing it and everything. And I always kind of wonder if she, like, got werewolf. Because what that was supposed to be was, there was supposed to be a sequel to this, and they kept talking about it like for ages and ages. It was supposed to be called Fresh Meat, I think.
Yeah.
And what Neil Marshall said was like, oh, that, you know, where we showed her getting cut, you know, the sequel was going to have something to do with, like, the DNA, like, the werewolf DNA or like that. And that was supposed to be, like, foreshadowing that.
Right.
But so some people have said that maybe Megan wasn't a werewolf the whole time, that that's when she got the werewolf cooties. Because she didn't, like I said, all the other werewolves were, they were already werewolves. And they were running around outside. And, like, how could she keep from turning into one at the same time as they did? Because she didn't wolf out until almost the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like she got turned later on.
Later on, maybe. Probably.
So, and I think the same thing happened with Ryan. I mean, he got attacked by the werewolves, so he was going to wolf out too, but he didn't wolf out until the end of the movie also.
Had good special effects.
Really good. Pretty gory.
Pretty gory,
You know, it
the
had...
The gunplay was good.
Yeah. Like, everything they... And like you said, I think it's cool because... For the same reason that Predator was cool, is because these guys were, you know, trained for this, for these types, not werewolves, obviously, but for this type of situation. So they weren't just like a bunch of clueless doofuses.
Yeah, no goofy losers or anything.
Nobody did anything stupid. Right. Nobody did anything, you know, that someone that had been trained in that wouldn't do.
Some of the guys were getting into it. They're like getting into the
combat. Yeah, I mean, so, seriously, so one of the best characters. I think Coop is the best character. He's the most sympathetic. Yeah. But a lot of people, their favorite character is Spoon because he is just like, he does not give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like he goes out and like acts as like a distraction for other people, like waving a fucking flare in their faces. And it's like one of the werewolves breaks in and he's like, he doesn't have a weapon anymore. And he's just like throwing like forks and shit at them, even though it's not doing anything.
Yeah.
Then he puts his fucking dukes up and starts punching the fucking werewolf and all this other kind of shit. It's hilarious.
If you like Predator, you'd like the movie. If you liked Alien 2, you'd like the movie. If you'd like The Howling, you'd like the movie. It's kind of like, to me, it's like a combination of them all.
Yeah, it's and it's like, it's really like fast-paced, and there's like, you can tell that somebody that was really into horror movies, like, made this, because there's a lot of homages, like, very subtle homages, like, to, like, Evil Dead, The Matrix, you know, and Predator a little bit. So he kind of, like, made sly little winking references to other movies in this as well.
And
so, like
the,
I said, you can tell he's a big horror fan.
All the military equipment they're wearing was spot on for that time and for that terrain. You know what I mean? There's none of that crazy body armor that they have today or the combat shirts or the, none of that shit. It was, like, shit you really live in.
Yeah.
Which is just, like, LCEs or LBV, which is just... Nowadays, you probably call them a battle belt, you know. Some of these guys call them a battle belt. And just like Gore-Tex tops and bottoms and, you know, in that British pattern. And, you know, they all started off with the correct rifle. They all had that damn British bullpup. But then they got their hands on SAS weapons, and they were all accurate. You know, they had MP5s with flashlight, you know, with a light on it and red dots and kind of modified FAL-type rifles and shotguns and... It was good, man. It's pretty cool. I liked it.
It really does look like they made an effort to make everything like as accurate as possible, so nobody would be like, that wouldn't happen, and all this other kind of shit.
Yeah, no, it was pretty accurate.
But yeah, I was going to say another thing, too, like, about Spoon's character and about him just, like, he knows he's going to get killed, like, so he just wants to mix it up with the werewolves and shit like that. And, like, before the werewolf eats him, he has, like, this fucking great line where he says, I hope I give you the shits, you fucking wimp.
Yeah.
And then the werewolf eats him. And it's funny because I think in the original cut of the film, they actually showed him getting, like, torn apart by the werewolf. But people liked his character so much that they didn't want to see that. So they only showed... I mean, they showed the other soldiers, like, finding, like, he was all, like, all his guts and everything all over. But, like, you couldn't really tell it was him anymore. There was just guts all over the floor. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. But, yeah, like I said, the gore in this is really good. I was actually watching a review of this earlier, and this had never occurred to me, but I think this might actually be accurate, because there's been, like, if people are going to nitpick about the movie, they're like, oh, what is this family, and how is Megan related to them? Was she a werewolf the whole time? What are they, why did they, because when they first find the farmhouse, there's, like, dinner cooking, you know what I mean? There's, like, a stew on the stove, and it's going, and there's, like, dishes out, and, like, some guys were like, well, why did they, like, make dinner if they knew they were going to wolf out? Because, you know, presumably they've been werewolves for a long time, and you know it's full moon and shit, because you'd keep track, I mean, obviously. But one thing, like, when the soldiers start eating the stew, and he says he wasn't sure what kind of stew it was, but it might be pork, and I was thinking... Well, maybe Megan or the werewolves made that stew and it's human meat.
Yeah.
Because later on, when they're down in the cellar or the barn or whatever, they find, like bodies, which I think are the bodies from the campers from the very first scene.
That's what they were inferring, that they were eating one of
them. I thought they were eating like people meat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it didn't really occur to me until I was watching this other review. I'm like, oh yeah, well that would make total sense, wouldn't it? Because they were making a stew out of, because they were keeping the bodies for some reasons. They're probably just chopping off some.
Another thing I noticed and liked about the movie was the rucksacks. All right.
Yeah.
even in Predator, all right, which is still to this day one of my favorite movies, they're not carrying any rucks. Now, some people might say, well, it's a tropical environment, and they're only going to be out there for 2 days, so they're not carrying a rucksack. Well, these guys are, you know, supposed to be out there for weeks, you know?
Yeah.
And we used to carry big-ass rucksacks, heavy, you know, 60-pound rucksacks, maybe 70. But if you were RTO, you could have a rucksack maybe 80, 90 pounds, especially if you're going to be out for a long time. Carry your own body weight. People go, oh, you don't carry your own body weight. Yeah. Yeah, especially in winter, you'd carry your own body weight and equipment. Well, these guys are carrying big-ass rucks. These are like man rucks. Huge rucksacks.
Yeah.
And normally they don't show those in the movies. Kind of like, well, they don't look that good on film. You
know, I think that's probably why. I think
they're don't look mobile. They don't look at what but the reality is that you're carrying your own body weight.
Well, because you would have to if you
to survive out there.
Right.
And then you're carrying all the weapons.
Yeah.
And you might be carrying anti-tank mines, landmines, or rockets or mortars for mortar tubes you don't even have. So you're carrying other people's ammo too. You know what I mean? So I liked that. So that added to the authenticity.
Yeah, like I said, it seemed like a real army squad.
Yeah.
Like they had all the shit, like the rapport between them and stuff.
Yeah.
And when
they start, they got those damn yellow blank adapters on the end of the barrel, which they look like shit on camera. But that's how you.
But
you
that's know, what it
that's
would look
really
like.
When you're in training, you're carrying that blank adapter, so everybody knows you got blanks and you can fire blanks.
Yeah.
You know, on the M16, it's just a red square that goes on there and you screw it on. You know, the British one was that long yellow blank adapter.
Yeah.
And seeing that, I liked it because I was like, man, they would never do that in an American movie.
Because they think it would look bad.
Yeah, because it looked bad. Didn't look like a real gun. They'd make them take that blank adapter off and said, no. But in reality, you'd have that blank adapter on there.
Yeah.
And then maybe Miles gear, which is that damn laser tag gear, which looks like shit.
Yeah.
But they didn't have that. But, you know, maybe Britain didn't use that. We didn't take it all the time either when we were out in the field. Just depending on what kind of field exercise it was. And actually, yeah, they in the situation here, they probably wouldn't take it. The only thing that wasn't really quite that accurate was just one helicopter, maybe a squad of 6-7 guys.
Yeah.
We never went anywhere in that small of numbers. Usually they move a whole company at least, you know.
Yeah.
But it was just a movie.
And like I said, because there was like the underlying motive that they didn't know about, that they were just supposed to be out there for bait for the werewolf. Maybe they just... Because they were talking about how weird this mission was and they didn't know anything about it.
They said it was unusual,
So they did, like, actually sort of make reference to that. Even though it wasn't, like, blown up in your face. It wasn't, like, super over-explained or anything. You just had to, like, listen to their dialogue and kind of piece it together.
They landed... I think that might have been an OH-58, which is an observation helicopter. You know what I mean? We would have showed up in a UH-1 or a UH-60. You know, like a Black Hawk or a Huey. You know, but they came in, I think, looked like an OH-58 or something like that. Maybe a European equivalent. I don't really... I remember it as being an OH-58. But, you know, that's just the way it is. It's a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing, too, that I want to mention, this is not... I'm not going to call this a horror comedy by any stretch of the imagination, but there is, like, a lot of humor, like, threaded throughout it. Like, you know, just... Most of the humor comes from the interactions of the characters with one another and, like, some of the shit that happens, like, when the werewolves start attacking. Like, there's, like, a really funny scene where the werewolf's, like, big claw, like, comes in through the mail slot or whatever, and the guy starts wailing on it with a hammer because that's, like, all he's got and shit like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of that, too, even though it's not, like, a comedy per se, but there is, like, a lot of comedy threaded throughout it, which is actually really, really well done and, like, really organically done.
And Infantry Squad's got a lot of comedy running through it anyway.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah.
Dudes fucking with each other constantly and talking shit.
Yeah, and that's exactly where the humor comes from. Yeah. And I think that's really good because it doesn't seem like it's shoehorned in. It doesn't seem like, oh, here's some humor to relieve the tension or anything like that. It just seems like...
Yeah, soldiers do that automatically.
It seems like a very realistic situation. Yeah. That's how people would react because this is kind of a crazy, like, unbelievable situation.
In reality, it's a bunch of dudes. They're all been living together in close quarters for years. A lot of times, some of those guys, I was with them for 4 fucking years. They're almost kind of like your family, and all they do is just fuck with each other, and, you know, and it's basically like a big tough man competition. Who's the pussy? You're a fucking pussy. No, you're a fucking pussy. Basically, it's like that.
Which is exactly pretty much what this was like.
You're a fucking pussy.
You know what I mean? But it's like, it's just such great. It's just so, like, one of the soldiers, like, barfs on the head of the other one. It's like when, one of the guys gets his, like, guts hanging out, but he lives, but they're, like, trying to fix him and everything, and, like, the dog, like, takes his intestines, is, like, tugging on it and stuff. But it's not done, like, oh, look how wacky or zany. It's just, the British type of humor is a very particular kind of humor, which I've always liked. It's kind of dry and deadpan and stuff. So I think that uses that very well. I've heard a couple people complain that the accents in this are so thick that they can't understand what people
are
saying.
Some of them were pretty thick.
Yeah. I didn't have a problem, but like I said, I spent a lot of time in the UK, like in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Some of it
so
I didn't need a direct translation.
I didn't have a problem.
I knew what they were talking about, situationally.
Yeah, you can like infer a lot of it from. I mean, but I have seen some people were like, "Well, I had to turn on the closed captioning because they couldn't tell what they were saying." I didn't have that problem, but a lot of people do because they do have like very thick like regional accents and stuff. But yeah, it's seriously, if you liked The Descent, which I don't know if I guess The Descent's a better movie, but honestly, it's hard to compare because they're kind of different, but. And if you haven't seen this one, and it's such a shame to me that this didn't get a theatrical release in the U.S. It's just unbelievable to me. It's like it went straight to the Sci-Fi Channel, and then it came out on DVD and then Blu-ray and stuff.
There's a lot of corruption involved in the theater system here. You know what I mean? Who made
it never got a distributor. Right. It's like even though it won a ton of prizes at like various. Horror and fantasy festivals like in Belgium and somewhere in Europe, but it just never got a distributor.
There's also like a social hierarchy and a money hierarchy of whose movie's gonna play in the theater alongside this one. You know, my buddy, he put this movie out, we want this one to win at this time. We want this one to make all the money. That's, you know what I mean? They're playing those games in the theaters.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like this one, it's sad it didn't get a release, but at least now, especially since The Descent was such a huge success, that people actually went back and, like, sought this movie out. Because I feel like it's kind of like a cult classic. Yeah. And pretty much every review I've seen of it is like, you know, this is easily one of the best werewolf movies ever made.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, easily. That's, not even an argument.
I'd put this up there with Howling and American Werewolf in London. Better than American Werewolf in London. I would say even though all those are good movies that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
I'd probably put this one above the other two, actually.
It's more of like an action film.
Yeah, more like an action movie. They're different kind of movies. Even Wolfen's Howling's a different kind of movie. Even though I think that's I thought that was a good werewolf movie.
Yeah.
It's a movie of its time.
Yeah.
You know, but it had some fucking badass practical effects for the time. They still kind of stand up. It doesn't look real, but it puts on a good show.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, you can tell that that's a person,
right? But it still looks cool.
I mean, well, a werewolf is a person,
technically.
Is a person, right. It's just a person that turned into a wolf.
If you were to put a CG werewolf there, it would just look like, whatever.
Well, it would look like crap, every other CGI monster looks like, pretty much.
Yeah, you know it's not there.
Right.
You know, kind of like with that new Predator, the big CG super Predator.
Yeah.
It looked okay, but I knew that wasn't there.
Yeah. I would rather have like...
I'd rather have like a guy in a suit, I think.
Yeah, a guy in a suit. Even if you know it's a guy in a suit. Well, if it's CGI, you know it's CGI.
The Predator is a guy in a suit, but damn, that's looking fucking
awesome.
But
it looks badass.
Yeah. And the aliens from Alien is a dude in a suit.
That's a dude also
looks
a dude in a suit.
It looks good, yeah.
And all of those look better than CGI ones.
I think so.
Especially CGI monsters.
There were some CGI aliens, like an Alien versus Predator. You know, it looked decent.
Yeah.
It looked decent. It looked good.
It only looks good if it doesn't move around too much.
And this one,
because when it moves, it's like too fast or too weightless or something.
In AVP, I think it was either one or two. The one they were in the temple, I think it was the first one. They moved. You didn't see them for very long, and that helped.
Yeah, that definitely helped.
Yeah,
but in this one, really, I mean, like I said, the way they shot it, A lot of it was in darkness or in shadow. They did show them like full length a couple times, like coming down the hall or like standing up over a bedroom, because they're really tall. They're like 8 feet tall, 7, 8, 9 feet tall, something like that, because they're on these stilts. They showed them like in the, there's a documentary about the making of, and they're these kind of like, they look kind of like, you know, like those desk lamps. It looks kind of like that. So they had these big things that they were standing on. But I think they look fantastic, and I think it's one of the best looking werewolves like that they've ever put on film. Now, another thing that people, this is another nitpicky thing that people bitch about, and I didn't even, like, this didn't even occur to me until I was watching some other shit, but some people said that this might be, and correct me if I'm wrong, this might be the only werewolf movie that doesn't have a transformation scene.
Yeah, it doesn't, did it?
And that's, it's funny because that never, I never even noticed.
Well, they're probably getting... They're probably expensive and kind of tedious to do.
That's what I'm saying. And, like, some people were like, oh, I wish there'd been a transformation scene instead of just... I mean, they showed Megan, like, her eyes went yellow, and, like, she had... You know, and Brian, like, he didn't really transform. His eyes just went yellow, and he kind of went off
American Werewolf in London has a pretty good one. I remember The Howling is having good ones.
Yeah. That was... Did Rob Bottin do that?
I don't know.
I kind of think maybe the guy that did the thing.
I liked The Howling so much that I actually watched The Howling 2, but I regretted it.
It's funny, I watched it when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I liked it.
And it didn't bother me.
But I watched it again, and I'm like, what the fuck?
I got about 10 minutes in, I'm like, I can't watch this.
It was bad.
It wasn't even like so cheesy that it was entertaining. It was just painful to watch.
And it was like a totally different movie. It's like it wasn't even related to The Howling 1.
I kind of feel like that might happen a lot because I think what happens, especially with these kind of like, you know, lower budget properties, I think sometimes there'll be like scripts like kicking around Hollywood that didn't originally have anything to do with that movie.
Yeah.
But then somebody gets a hold of it and goes, you know, we could tweak this and make it, you know, we'll just put a couple scenes in that sort of link it back to that. And then it'll be a sequel.
Kind of like Scanners. I remembered loving all the Scanners movies, but only the first one was good. The second one was like, wait a minute, hold on. I liked this movie.
This is terrible. What was I thinking?
What the fuck?
Wow, I was stupid when I was a kid.
When you're a kid, you'll watch anything, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, you know, you just don't have all your critical faculties.
Well, I knew that Star Crash was bad. Even though even though Carolyn Monroe's hot ass is running around, it's still, you know, but I liked it, but I knew it was bad. I knew I wasn't dealing with Star Wars.
Right.
You know, and remember Battle Beyond the Stars? That was another piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like I said. But, you know, the whole thing about this, seriously, I got it on, did I get it on DVD or Blu-ray? I can't remember. I think it was a Blu-ray, actually.
I have to go look I think it's DVD.
Oh, it might be DVD. Okay, yeah. I got it for like $3 or something like that at FYE at the mall.
I think it's DVD.
Yeah, they had that big bin with like all the cheap ass DVDs, and I was like so excited because I was like, "Ooh, Dog Soldiers," and I haven't seen it, and I knew he hadn't seen it, and I knew he would really dig it. You have not seen The Descent yet either.
No, I've seen it twice.
Have you?
Yeah. Them down there. I've seen it twice, but it was a long time in between each time that I saw it. I really wasn't paying close attention.
I thought you bought it.
I wanted to restudy it, but it won't play on my Xbox. It'll only play on this TV out here.
Oh, okay.
So it has something to do with...
I thought you said you hadn't seen it.
No, I'd seen it twice, but I didn't really watch it that closely.
The first time I saw it was on an airplane, and it stressed me the fuck out, because I already hate flying. So then I saw that movie again, and I'm like, oh, great. Like, why did I watch this?
This one actually interested me more than The Descent.
Yeah, because it's more...
Yeah, more
your kind
of
thing.
Me,
it's like a... Yeah, it's relatable to you. It's military guys and fighting fucking punching werewolves and stuff.
Yeah, and I remember, like, not... You know, the subterranean people in Descent, I thought that was pretty fucking cool, but I don't remember them actually showing much of them. They didn't really seem to have much personality. It was kind of like a zombie.
They were creatures. They were just animals.
Were they people? I thought they were people.
They were like mutated.
I thought they were people that had evolved for cave.
They did, but you know, over however long
they didn't have
any
eyes or anything, and I think
or they did, but they were like really small or something. I have to like remember, but they were all white.
It kind of reminded me of just those rage zombies. That's what they reminded me of. So I didn't really find them to be that fascinating. Maybe had they been a monster that could speak and it had like its own culture, maybe I would have liked it better.
Although what I liked the most about The Descent wasn't even the monsters. It was like all the backstabbing between the characters and all the claustrophobia. To me, that was scarier than the monsters.
Yeah, that's the central theme of that movie.
Yeah.
Was all those girls and all those They were mostly girls, from what I remember.
They were all women.
They were all girls. Okay.
Yeah, they were all cavers.
I have to look at it again.
But yeah, so yeah, if you liked The Descent, then you really need to check this one out if you haven't seen it. Easily, like I said, one of the best werewolf movies ever made, and certainly one that I have, you know, watched repeatedly, and I enjoy just as much every single time. You know, so. And like I said, if you need to put on the closed captioning, I won't tell anybody, if you can't tell what they're saying. But yeah, so check it out if it's your kind of thing. And that will do it for our latest movie retrospective. We will see you next time. Bye.